This is Birdnot. As the sun sets on a northern Midwest forest, we hear a most peculiar sound. It's an American woodcock aloft on a courtship flight. At sunset, the male woodcock walks slowly on short legs from the cover of the forest to a nearby clearing. After a few sharp calls, the woodcock takes flight. As it spirals upward, slim, stiff feathers at its wingtips create a curious twittering. At the apex of its flight, the woodcock circles, then descends in a slow spiral, putt-putting like a tiny car about to run out of gas. As it lands, we can see in the last light its beautifully patterned gray back and orange belly. The male will display at dawn and dusk for more than 2 months each spring. The woodcock's odd looks and sounds have earned it many colorful nicknames. The most memorable? Timberdoodle. Let's listen to the Timberdoodle one more time. For Birdnote, I'm Mary McCann. Birdnote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at Birdnote Radio. This is Birdnote. Watch any backyard bird and you are watching an acrobat at work. A robin zooms across your field of vision and reaching a tree appears to go from full out flight to a dead stop in the wink of an eye.
Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
Need one night off to apply the good pressure.
Oh, God. Am I the Whoopi? My name is Leslie.
Oh. I love suffering. And I'm Jade. I feel like I've said this before. It's not the first time that I've publicly announced my love for suffering.
No, I guess not.
As evidenced by the many minutes that we've spent talking about A Little Life.
Too many. Oh my God. I edited that episode and I think I got almost an hour's worth of bonus content from it.
Yeah, sounds about right. That's, I think, really... you did a really miraculous job of condensing our like hours of discussion on this book.
Oh my God.
I think at this point I can write a book about A Little Life.
Yeah, you can.
And it would be longer than A Little Life.
What is the book? 850 pages or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like 820 pages. It would be like David Harvey. No, like his companion to Capital. It'd be my companion to A Little Life.
Oh my goodness.
And every page would just be like, do not read this book.
821 pages of critique. I think you should do like a master's dissertation on it.
On A Little Life. Oh my God. I mean, you jest, but... that doesn't sound like a bad idea for a thesis proposal.
The mainstreaming of the Whoopi.
Yeah.
You know?
The normalization of fan fiction tropes as evidenced by Hanya Yanagihara's A Little Life.
So today's show, I don't know. We're just kind of reconnecting. It's been a while since we recorded a show together. How have you been?
I have been okay. I quit my job. I don't know what I'm going to do for law school. And I'm sick all the time. So yeah, I've been doing really well.
Oh my God.
this is what they call fun employment.
Oh my God. Another existential crisis.
Another very Jade Core moment in early 2023, for sure.
Oh my.
How have you been?
You know. Can I get another yeah? Yeah. I feel seen. I feel validated. Validated. Oh my goodness. My speech has been not great lately. My talking skills have never been super awesome. And over the course of the past, I think like 5 or 6 years, I've been experiencing kind of like a slowing down of like brain to mouth. But also now, like I mess up my words. I don't think it's a cognition thing. I think I'm just like
I was gonna say you have dementia, but
mean, you know, could be super early onset,
yeah.
maybe.
That'll be great. That'll be a medical mystery. You will be very popular once medical researchers. So that's at least something. You
Want to
know?
be popular among medical
Maybe
researchers.
they'll get a you'll get a disease named after you.
No, that sounds awful. That sounds terrible. And I don't think it would be named after me. It would probably be named after the doctor. So still,
That's true.
yeah. That sounds awful, Jay. Is this your way of comforting me?
I mean, yeah. Fun employment.
Well,
I'm having so much fun.
today on the show, we're going to do a little bit of a film discussion. The Oscars are coming up very soon. We have both seen Everything Everywhere All at Once,
And nothing else.
and nothing else. Oh, do you know if you've seen anything else on these
I
nominations?
have not seen anything this year, which makes me a fake film bro. I wear my A24 hat like out all the time. And like out of Everything Everywhere All at Once, I have not seen another A24 film this year.
But you couldn't you have seen something else?
I could have seen something else, and yet I didn't. I do really want to see After Sun, though. That is something on my list. I hope Paul Mascow wins. I don't know, like, what is up with him and the Phoebe Bridgers fan base. I don't know if her fans, her stans, are into him. But I feel like it will be a good day for people in Lexapro if he wins.
Yeah, isn't he her husband or something?
Oh no, they split up.
Oh my.
It is the Bradgelina split of indie music.
Okay. Well, dang. Sorry to hear that, Phoebe. We're gonna move on now. Speaking of
Let's
indie
play some more
music.
music. I have a so we thought about talking about Pachinko the book today, but I was like, I don't want to talk about suffering. But I did make a playlist that's based off of the vibe of the book. Is it bad that pretty much none of these musicians are Asian? Maybe, but I do have Mitski and I have Norah Jones, who is a featured artist on one of the songs from a song by Belle and Sebastian, and they're both Wajin, so it's like half and half equals one.
This is very sad Wasians then.
Yeah, this is very sad Wajins. It is a playlist with a lot of not so much the music of the time of the book, but music with the themes of the book, which is sort of like this great longing and love and separation and the yearning for the motherland, which there is which doesn't exist, the motherland in your head, and wrestling with religion and faith and your identity. So good stuff.
You're really good at comforting me today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, coming up is Mitski with I Want You. Enjoy.
You're coming back.
say I'm sorry for something, don't know what it'd be. But you'd say nothing, it's nothing, and smile at me. I wanna sit around and watch you do your hair, talk it all into the ground, have a ceremony there for something, don't know what it'd be. But it'd become nothing, it's nothing, and you'd smile.
Typically Tuesdays, you just heard You on My Arm by Leith Ross, and before that, Nemesis with I Want to Be Your Right Hand.
I'm Leslie, and on today's show, we're talking about movies and the Oscars and such. But before we hop into the Oscars, you watched Everything Everywhere All at Once recently.
I did, just a couple of days ago.
How did you feel about it?
I liked it. It's definitely pretty bizarre. I remember reading this one Letterboxd review of the movie and said it felt like a long Super Bowl commercial, which is the vibe that I got from it. It felt very Stephen Chow as well, like sort of all of this like slapstick comedy and like cameos and pop culture references.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I mean, at its core, it's a story about family drama, right? And I feel like it really resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. That's good.
It's not bad. Is that your review?
I
You're like the only person I know that didn't like the movie.
I did. Yeah, I don't think I liked it as much as most other people did. I think that makes me a race traitor.
Yeah. It makes you a banana.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I might have to rewatch it again in order to appreciate it, because I think one of my biggest issues while watching it was that there was so much going on, and I'm not a huge sci-fi person anyways, so I thought it was really funny. The action was really great. You know, I also enjoyed the theme and the themes of the story and stuff like that. But I just felt like it was a lot to digest.
Would you say that it was everything everywhere all at once?
I wouldn't. And then the thing is, I think I would have to like rewatch it to like maybe gain like a different perspective on that. But it is so long and there is just so much there. It's like if you ate like a really like a pretty good but really big sandwich. And
yeah,
you're like
in one sitting.
Yeah. And you're like, I might want that again, because it was, you know, it was enjoyable in some ways, but I have to get through all of it. And I don't think I can do that.
Much like reading A Little Life. But you do make a really good point, which is one of the reasons why I enjoy streaming services so much, is that I can kind of watch the movie at my own pace. I think I did have to pause several times watching Everything Everywhere All at Once. It got really intense. And I was like, okay, I need a little break.
Mm-hmm.
But I am still in the process of rewatching the National Theater production of Angels in America, which is like 8 hours, actually 8 hours long. And I really enjoy the fact that they just let you stream it live on demand. We're not live on demand, but they let you stream it at home. And because that is also a lot to take in.
And that is also like a completely other level of a lot to take in. It is 8 hours long.
Yep.
Everything Everywhere All at Once felt like 8 hours, but it is not actually 8 hours.
It's 2.5, right? It definitely felt like 4 hours to me.
Yeah. I recently watched RRR, and that is like a 3.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
And that is also a lot. That movie somehow felt shorter than Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. But I think it's really great that it has been nominated for so many things for the Oscars this year, because it has certainly been it has certainly gotten like a lot of critical acclaim. And it is certainly a very well produced, well directed, well written movie as well. Like, objectively speaking, like, I know it's good. Subjectively, don't know if I would put myself through that again. But yeah.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
So you haven't watched any other movies this year?
No. I mean, I've watched movies this year, but just none of the recent. None of the movies that came out this year. I didn't even watch The Fabelmans, even though Tony Kushner was the co-producer on that. So, just goes to show.
I guess so. That's a pretty good segue to our main topic of discussion today, which is about the Oscars. In that category, actor in a leading role, we have Austin Butler in Elvis, Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser in The Whale, Bill Nighy in Living, and Paul Mescal in Aftersun. Who do you think will win?
Yeah, I definitely think it's between Austin Butler and Colin Farrell. The Oscars loves a good biopic, so I can see Austin Butler winning for that. And The Banshees of Inisherin was also a very critically acclaimed movie. I think it had the second most nominations after Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Colin Farrell obviously is a pretty established actor. I have never even heard of Living, the movie. And it'll be nice if Brendan Fraser wins. I think this is his comeback movie after a very tumultuous time in Hollywood. And it'll be a nice nod. And obviously, I'm also hoping Paul Mescal does. But that is very unlikely. It is less likely than him and Phoebe Bridgers getting back together. Although I'd love to be surprised.
Jeez. Okay. All right. That's fair.
I mean, just from someone who's never seen any of these movies, just from my predictions are entirely based off of vibes. Who do you think is going to win Best Picture? Do you think it's going to be a landslide for Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Let me just see who has been. Top Gun Maverick. Jeez. Good Lord. Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick. Okay. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Better not be that.
I think it's going to be Avatar.
Not that I have a huge issue with Top Gun Maverick, other than it's, you know. Have we not done this like a million times already? Please. Okay. Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance Avatar would win. I have also heard a lot of buzz around Women Talking. So that could potentially be one, I think. Though I'm not... I don't know. I hadn't heard of Women Talking until I think like it was nominated.
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard of Women Talking? What are you, a misogynist?
Shut up. No, I haven't heard of Women Talking. I've never heard my own voice. Technically, I am only one woman. Okay. I
see. You don't talk to your mom?
I don't. I only talk to men.
Your life doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Just leave me alone. That's why I'm still single. That's why as a lesbian, I'm still single.
Because you don't talk to women like ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Not platonically, not romantically, not like existentially.